This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. This will be an interview unlike maybe any other you've heard on Inside Douglas County. For over 40 years, Dan Bain has been asking the questions and interviewing people. Today, part one, you get interviewed. Are you ready for this?
Why not?
Well-known journalist in radio, television, and the newspaper, getting ready to allegedly retire on Monday.
Oh, I think I'm ready for it.
So, when and why did you come to Douglas County?
It all started when I was, after I'd graduated from college in La Grande at Eastern Oregon, which is Eastern Oregon University now. I'd gone to work for a Montgomery Ward store in La Grande, and they closed the store down about 3 months after I started there and asked me if I'd like to transfer to Roseburg. And so I did, and the Montgomery Wards was in the building where Clint Newell Motors is now. And I was there for about 3 years in the sporting goods department. So that's how I got to Roseburg.
So how do you get from sporting goods to being on the radio?
Well, it's kind of a convoluted story, but it all started after my first year of college when I went home to wait for the draft board to take me to Vietnam. And it didn't happen, so I enrolled at Lane Community College and took some radio broadcasting classes there, which sounded like fun. And I ended up actually broadcasting some of the Lane Community College basketball games. So I picked up a license, and when I went back to Eastern Oregon the next year, I did some part-time work in radio while I was going to college to make a little extra money. And then when I came to Roseburg, I contacted Lyle Finner, who was the station manager at that time, and said, I have a license, and if you ever need somebody to fill in and do some, we called them disc jockeys at that time.
And
discs are gone now.
Yeah, and even the licenses are gone.
Yeah, even the licenses are gone now. But in those days, it was basically you had to know a little bit about radio, but sign a paper that said you were not a communist and you were good to go.
Now, KQEN at that point was, when you first started, kind of explain what the station did in terms of the format.
It was kind of an easy listening format when I first started there with different kinds of music during the day. But the morning would be informational, a lot like it is now, not as in-depth as it is now, but still a lot of news, sports, and weather. The station carried Roseburg High School sports for many, many years before I started there. And they would have a lot of big band sound music, easy listening adult style music. And it would get even softer in the evening, like dinner music and that kind of thing. So that was kind of the format. It was obviously made for adults.
And so were you playing music or doing news or all of it?
When I first started, I was doing the disc jockey work on a Sunday evening. And so it was basically playing the music, which were mostly 33s, RPMs.
Remember those?
Yeah, the big ones. And you'd have to pick out the song and then cue it up with the needle. And a little different than it is now. But that's how I started at KQEN, and eventually got started with Dave Finner in doing sports. And so I helped him for a while, and eventually he left radio, and I took over in 1977 as sports director and still a disc jockey. And we had another news director at the time, but I still did a little bit of news. I mean, he always read news on the air.
So back then, KQEN was in a different location. Talk about that.
Yeah, they were. They had moved out to the fairgrounds from downtown. I think they were in one of the hotels at one time, but that was before I came here. But when I started, they had the little building out at the fairgrounds, which is kind of right across from the main fairgrounds offices. And I mean, it was out there by itself in the middle of Sunday evening with nobody around and just the freeway traffic going by. You kind of felt like you were alone, but it was out away from everything, and that was kind of what they wanted to do at that time, to get out of the downtown area. So it was a little building that was not real secure. And they were out there for a long time before KQEN and KRSB combined on the in the studios on Harvard Avenue.
And so you've seen over the years, while you were still in radio, I mean, the equipment much different than it is today.
Oh, yeah. It was the turntables. There were, the tapes were the equivalent of four-track tapes that you used at that time. I don't think those machines are even around anymore, but it has progressed through generations of advancements since I first started there, and to what it is now, just basically all computerized.
So for doing sports, what was it that you liked about doing games, doing play-by-play?
Well, I'd grown up playing sports in Little League all the way through high school and played baseball in college, and so sports were kind of my life all the way through school. And when I got a chance to do some play-by-play, it felt real good to be involved in sports again. So that was a way for me to be involved, and I just loved being involved in being able to call the sports, and so that's kind of how I got started in it.
So how long were you on at KQEN full-time?
It would have been from 1977 to 92, so that's probably 16 years, about 16.
And then one day, and I had a different job and worked for a different company, but somebody said, hey, Dan Bain is going to television, and people were shocked. What led to that?
I'd gone through a summer that was extremely hard on me because there were so many baseball games, and I was getting up real early and staying up real late, and there was one stretch of American Legion baseball games that I was broadcasting at that time where we had four doubleheaders in four nights, and I don't think any of them got over with before 11 o'clock, and one went till 12:30 in the morning, and I had to be back at the station by 4 the next morning, and so it didn't leave a lot of time for sleep. And I know you go through a lot of that too in the news, but it was really wearing on me. And about that time, Don Clitheroe had called me from KPIC and asked if I'd be interested in going to TV, and I said, well, you called at the right time. So I talked to him about it, and that's what I decided to do.
Now, how different was doing television than radio?
Way different. First, you carried about 30 pounds of gear around with you all the time. When I first started, there was a big, heavy tripod that you had to take with you, a big, heavy camera, and a big, heavy battery pack and tape recorder that you had to take with you as well. So you had three big pieces of gear that you had to carry, and when you went out on something on location somewhere, you hoped you didn't have to walk very far because it was a load to carry around with you. And that eventually went away, and now you see the little cameras that the TV people use that are about the size of what home video cameras were back in the probably the 90s.
What about the differences of being on radio and TV in terms of, you know, sitting behind a microphone and realizing that you've got to look at the camera and you've got to be maybe more dressed up and things like that?
That was pretty weird to try to look like you were talking to people and try to make it sound like you're not reading because you had a teleprompter in front of you. And you know, there's a lot of difference between reading something and talking. And that was one of the hardest things for people coming into TV to learn, was that you don't read it, you tell it to people. And that was, I don't think I had a hard time adjusting to that because I'd been in radio for a long time. And that's kind of the same thing you do in radio is, You don't want to sound like you're reading, using words that police put on press releases that make it sound like it was written by police. So So that was an adjustment that you had to make, but I don't know that that was so hard for me as maybe the other parts, like staring into the camera and trying to act normal.
And in radio, you get to, like I'm doing right now, you've got your scripts in your hand.
Yeah.
You can kind of control that. When the teleprompter, you're kind of at the mercy of the teleprompter operator.
Yeah. Well, we actually had to run the teleprompters ourselves because we had a foot pedal. And if your foot got a little jumpy and hit the pedal too hard, it would jump a couple of pages. And then you had to go to the scripts in front of you to try to catch up. And sometimes that wasn't easy to do if you weren't following along on your scripts as you should be. So there were some times where it got a little dicey trying to do that.
Going to take a break. More with Dan Bain when we come back on Inside Douglas County, part one of a two-part series. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock at 4, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Today it's Northwest Wine Radio, and this is part one of a two-part series with Dan Bain, retiring Monday, spending the last few years at the News Review. We're talking about his time in television right now. What were some of the things in television news that changed in the 20 years that you were at KPIC?
Oh gosh, it's the digital age came about, and when we got cell phones, that was a huge deal at KPIC because you could keep track of, you could let people know where you were, and you could stay in touch. A lot of times before that, you'd have to drive all the way back to the station or try to find a phone booth somewhere. Remember what phone booths are? And
not everybody does.
but they were sometimes, when you were in remote areas, they were not very easy to find. But a lot of times the cell phone would have some reception that you could get by not driving too far away. But that was probably the biggest thing. And then the digital cameras that came out, digital video cameras that were just so much better video. The improvement in video quality over the years has been tremendous.
So you left KPIC after 20 years and then did kind of public relations for a few years.
Yeah, I was actually working for Dr. Bob Dannenhofer at that time, what was called DSIPA at the time, and then it was changed to Architrave, and it's been changed again to, what is it, Umpqua Health now. And I was there for 4 years, and they made some changes there. So that job went away, and I thought, well, I could retire now if I want to. But then the opening came up here at the News Review, and I had a chance to take that. So I thought, well, now I've done all the media.
Yeah, talk about the differences in writing newspaper articles versus writing for TV or radio.
Well, TV and radio is more of a headline service where most of the time you don't get into the real deep details, where a newspaper is a lot more detail-oriented, and the articles are going to be a lot longer than they would be. TV was a real headline service because you did a lot of letting the video tell the story, so you just had to kind of write what the video was, and that was different than radio because you're telling the story there and you don't have any video to show people what you're talking about, so you have to describe it. But then in newspaper, it's a lot more detail-oriented, so a lot more research has to be done to find out the details. So it's quite a bit different writing for paper.
So doing that for all these years, and let's back up a step. A few years ago, you got talked back into the world of play-by-play radio.
Yeah, that kind of came by surprise, but I was contacted and asked if I would like to do Sutherland sports on the radio on the station I-101 that's licensed to Sutherland. So Dr. Dannenhofer at the time said, yeah, that'd be great if you want to do that. And so that's what got me started. And the first 4 years I did their basketball games, their girls won state championships all 4 years. And Joey Kieran was a little jealous.
Yeah, I remember that. So you're probably, I mean, after covering news for all these years, you're probably one of the most recognizable people in the county. How often does that become apparent to you?
It's actually unbelievable how much you get recognized. And I remember telling some of the people that had come to work at KPIC that you better get ready to be recognized, because once you're on TV, people will walk up to you and start talking to you like they're your friend and you don't know who they are. And that, I think every day that probably happens. There are some crazy stories of when my wife and I are traveling, and one of them, we were on a riverboat cruise that went up the Columbia River to Lewiston, Idaho, and a jet boat up into Hell's Canyon, and we went up to a little lodge, and we got off the boat and started walking up to the lodge, and somebody yelled, "Hey, who's doing the news?" And here we are in Hell's Canyon. The only way to get there is by jet boat or hiking in or mule team. And it was a couple of people from Roseburg that were on their way down the river as we were going up. And we got up to the lodge, and I was looking at some pictures on the wall. And I told my wife, "These look like Roseburg High School football players." So I asked the waitress, and she said, "Hey, you're the guy that does the news." And I said, "How would you know that?" And she said, "Oh, I grew up in Roseburg." And the pictures on the wall were of Roseburg High football players, because it was owned by people from Roseburg. It was Beamer's Landing and the Snake River. And so that was just one of the crazy times. But there's a lot of times where I'd run into people in places that you just never expected.
So for covering news all of these years, especially during the time maybe at KPIC, because of the way television news works, you trained a lot of people, some of whom went on to big, big markets, but yet you chose to stay here. Why?
Yeah, I like it here in Roseburg, and that's the main reason, I guess. But also, when you get into the bigger markets, it gets to be a lot more cutthroat, and nothing is ever stable. When you get to the big markets, it can change so fast. But I liked living in Roseburg, and I grew up on the west side of the mountains. And so when I had a chance to come back here, it was nice to be within a hour of home. And there's so much stuff to do around here that's fun to do, and the scenery can't be beat.
And where'd you grow up?
I grew up east of Cresswell in the Pleasant Hill School District, on a dairy farm, and there were never any vacations on dairy farms. It was a lot of work. So I was just telling somebody the other day that when I played football in high school, it was great to get away from work, even though football practice is usually pretty tough. But it was not as tough as working on the farm.
What about some of the people you worked with in television that maybe are names that kind of stand out, folks that you saw, maybe you got to help train, and then you've seen them go into big success?
See if I can remember the names now. Brandy Beavers was one. She is Brandy Smith, I think, now, but she's working for a big station in Houston, Texas, the last I heard, and she had won some national awards for her reporting there. And she was one that she was working at KPIC and ran for school board right after she turned 18 and won. So she was a real go-getter, and I knew she had big things in her future, and she's done really well in that. There have been some others. A guy named Brian Callanan left here, and he went to the Seattle market, and he was up there for a long time. And there have been others that have gone to big markets. One went to Florida, and I think one was in Las Vegas, the last I heard. But there have been some good ones that have come through here.
And is it true that you have just about everyone's name in your Rolodex?
Everyone I care about.
And of course, Rolodex, we mean phone Rolodex these days.
Yeah, the electronic phone. I've got a lot of them in there, that's for sure. And every time I change phones, I lose some of those. But I try to go back and recapture them. But there are a lot of them in there, and that's been a really convenient way to remember, because I get a lot more forgetful now than I was.
Stick around tomorrow. It's part two. We're going to talk about some of the people Dan Bain has covered, some of the big stories during his time in radio, television, and at the News Review. Good and bad, memorable moments. And we'll look at Dan's future as well. So you have to come back tomorrow, all right?
All right. We'll try.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.